Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Wajahat Ali, who is a Muslim-American playwright of Pakistani descent, an expert on Islamophobia for the Center for American Progress. Ali's essays and interviews on contemporary affairs, politics, and the media, popular culture, and religion frequently appear in The Washington Post, The Guardian, Salon, Slate, The Wall Street Journal, Huffington Post, CNN, and Counterpunch. His play about Muslim Americans, Domestic Crusaders, premiered off-Broadway and broke box office records in 2009. He blogs at Goat Milk and Intellectual Playground. Welcome to Background Briefing, Wajahat Ali.
Thanks so much for having me, and I appreciate it.
And just this recent report that came out, 130-page report, Fear Incorporated, The Roots of the Islamophobia Network in America. You worked on that report. It singles out several Jewish family organizations that support right-wing causes, and some of the usual suspects here on the American right, including Richard Mellon Scaife, who was one of the principal funders of the attempt to impeach President Clinton. First of all, what kind of success do you think the connection between the money and the public consciousness has this 10-year campaign created?
Well, yeah, thank you so much. You know, a six-month investigative report and an expose fact-based on how seven funders have given nearly $43 million nearly over a 10-year period to a small, interconnected group of individuals and organizations that the evidence shows have been primarily responsible for mainstreaming fear, bigotry, and hate against Muslims and Islam in America. It's very interconnected. So everything begins with the money because the money empowers these individuals. Specifically, the network is broken into five categories: the money trail. The second one is the Islamophobia scholars and experts. This is the central nervous system, really, Ian, a group of five individuals who belong to think tanks who are responsible for manufacturing much of the memes and messages that then get mainstreamed vis-a-vis the other categories in the network, such as the grassroots organizations, the media megaphones, such as Fox News and the blogosphere, and then finally, political players who use it as talking points. Islamophobia is a lucrative cash cow, Ian. These individuals who I mentioned, none of them take home less than six figures. And they do this as their daily job. This is their daily bread. So this manufacturing of Islamophobia, you know, this nonstop 24/7 industry, if you will, is fueled by the money. So we decided to use, uncover the research, go to publicly available documents, 990s, and trace it. And we believe if you really want to end Islamophobia, if you really want to marginalize and expose these people and limit their negative influence, then you have to call out the funders and say, hey, if you didn't know that you're funding these people with an agenda, now you know. What are you going to do about it?
So let's go through the five people that are the intellectual architects of this orchestrated bigotry. Frank Gaffney, of course, he's well known as a shill for the military-industrial complex. He's at the Center for Security Policy. Daniel Pipes at the Philadelphia-based Middle East Forum. I don't know whether he's still the head of the United States Institute of Peace, but he had that position appointed by the Bush administration. Steve Emerson, of the Investigative Project on Terrorism. By the way, Steve Emerson was the guy at the time of the Oklahoma City bombing, was first out of the gate to blame it on a couple of Jordanians, when, of course, it turned out to be homegrown American apple pie terrorism. Just let me start with him, because I find him so discredited. How does he stay in business? He's gotten things so wrong for so long.
Yeah, Steve Emerson actually is, because I think he was one of the first ones in the game in 1994. If you remember, he went from journalist to mainstream Islamophobia peddler through his PBS documentary Jihad in America, which won an award. But those who really reviewed it criticized it for creating mass hysteria against Arabs and Muslims. And you said it right now that in 1995, he was the one who, before there was any evidence whatsoever, blamed the Oklahoma City bombing on Muslims, saying this is a, it bared the hallmark traits of Muslims, and ended up being Timothy McVeigh. And 1997, Associated Press tried to rely on him for research, and then they said it seemed what he gave them was manufactured and made up, and they would be very, very, very leery of using him. The reason I think why he's still successful and in business is because many of these people in the Islamophobia network that you've mentioned, Ian, they've been very successful as posing themselves off as authentic experts on Islam, or basically doing fundamental important research on national security and terrorism, which has been a very successful guise to hide their anti-Muslim agenda. And furthermore, the network, as you see in the report, is very, dare I say, incestuous, interconnected, and self-reliant, thus promoting one another as experts, not only the media, but also law enforcement agencies. And so, the Tennessean newspaper did a great expose on Steve Emerson last year, and essentially they said his think tank, Investigative Project on Terrorism, now solicits money by telling donors they're in imminent danger from Muslims. So we have to realize we're living in a very politically and economically uncertain climate where many people are naturally afraid, and these people exploit the misinformation, fear, and I would say even ignorance that people have about Muslims and Islam, and emerge as what they say as the defenders of national security. And that's why some people regularly give them money without realizing what their really anti-Muslim agenda that's behind it.
Here at Pacifica, where we operate on shoestring, in spite of this canard out there that the conservatives in this country keep beating like a dead horse, that there's such a thing as a liberal media, and that there's this powerful kind of liberal juggernaut out there, the truth of the matter is that there's no money on the left. And I'm sure Horowitz, any migrating from the left, has discovered it's much more lucrative to be a right winger.
I mean, David Horowitz makes nearly $500,000 a year. Frank Gaffney takes home an income of $300,000. Robert Spencer, whom you mentioned, runs Jihad Watch, which is a subsidiary of David Horowitz's Freedom Center. And Robert Spencer, who also co-created the hate group Stop Islamization of America with Pamela Geller, which was actually criticized by the Anti-Defamation League as being a conspiratorial anti-Muslim grassroots organization, he takes home $200,000. So, Ian, if you want some more money, I think it's good to create a fictitious boogeyman and get money from funders to say that you're fighting that boogeyman. But, of course, I think it comes at the expense of becoming the villain in our children's history books.
Well, in a way, this whole thing could be laughable because it's such an absurd. I remember that during the Cold War there was an old joke by Mort Sahl, which was that the Russians arrested an American for spying and the Americans retaliated by arresting an American for spying. And there is this kind of knee-jerk, self-inflicted wound that the war on terror has created in this country. But the notion that there is this Sharia law onslaught in the country, that somehow, somewhere, there's a group of mullahs trying to impose Sharia law on America, so much so that Horowitz and company have had to go out to the Midwest and get the legislature in Kansas to pass a law banning Sharia law when nobody was even proposing it in the first place. I mean, isn't there a comedic kind of...
Exactly. What you mentioned is there's a black humor here in absurdity, and if this was a comedy sketch, maybe it would be a Monty Python sketch, but unfortunately it's real. And it reflects sometimes the darkest parts of American history, where sometimes we lose our moral compass when we succumb to fear and hysteria. But the reason why I'm hopeful, Ian, is because this, what's happening to Muslims right now and what's happening to those of Middle Eastern descent, this is simply a remake. The characters now are Muslims. In the past, we've seen that there were Japanese Americans, Jewish Americans, and Irish Catholics. And eventually it does become so absurd and becomes so crazy that most Americans wake up and say, wait, what's happening here? Why are we dividing one another among religious and ethnic lines? Why are we scapegoating one another? It's gone too far. Enough's enough. And that's why I'm hopeful, because these people, like you mentioned, it's so absurd that, they said that Governor Christie of New Jersey They've accused him of palling around with the radical Islam simply because he nominated a thoroughly qualified Muslim American, Sohail Mohammed, to the Superior Court. They say that the Conservative Political Action Conference, the annual conference, has been infiltrated by radical Islam simply because they invited Grover Norquist, the anti-tax reformer who's married to a Muslim woman, and Republican Sohail Khan to speak. They said, Steve Emerson, I think, said that Governor Christie has a 10-year for radical Islam. They've accused the Obama administration and even the Bush administration of being infiltrated by radical Islam simply because there was outreach to Muslim American communities. I mean, when it comes to this, right, it becomes so absurd that I think people who, once it's exposed, and I think now it's finally exposed, most right. people, even conservatives, once they view this, they go, wait a second, this is crazy. That's exactly what Governor Christie said. This is crazy, and this is nonsense. And I'm hoping that people regain their moral compass and say, you know what, this is not how we do business in America. And so this is what the report does. It really exposes sure. their agenda. And I'm hopeful that now we can hopefully turn the course towards some common sense and civility, hopefully.
Well, it's also, in terms of national security, Islamophobia is the most counterproductive thing that you could have in this so-called war on terror, because no Christian or Jew can dissuade a young Muslim from the path of radicalism. The only people that can dissuade and win the war on terror, if that's possible, are moderate Islamists. And if we scapegoat and demonize them, then we are truly shooting ourselves in the foot. Well, I thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and I really appreciate the conversation, and thank you for highlighting the report, and thanks to the listeners for tuning in. Take care.
Take care. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
Time.